But I appreciate Brother Scott Moneyham. He pastors the Holly Springs Baptist Church down in Rutherford County. And I love this man. He's a blessing. He's God's man for this time right here this morning. And you pray for him. Ask God to touch him. Don't you appreciate him a touching Brother Tommy? Now, I want to tell you, preaching is, everybody's different. Not every, it'd be bad if everybody preached the same way.
That's right.
But I appreciate how the Spirit of God touches different men.
Yes.
And uses their personalities and their mannerism and their talents. Yes. You say he doesn't do that. Well, he did. He used Peter and John. And they wrote on a different flavor about the accounts of our Lord. They were different men. But what I love to see is for the Spirit of God to touch His servant.
Amen.
That helps me. You listen while He comes to preach to us this morning. Preacher, I love you.
Amen. It's a joy to be in camp meeting. Thank the Lord. Honor to be saved. I thank the Lord. I was thinking this morning some of the greatest things that have ever happened in my life have happened in camp meeting. My youngest son was saved right over there. Amen. My boys grew up in these shavings. My daughter has grown up in these shavings. And the third generation has started growing up in these shavings. That's just the goodness of God. And how I am indebted to this place. And I know you feel that way as well. And we thank the Lord for His blessings. And We don't honor men for the sake of honoring men. We honor the God that they serve. But I am appreciative of Brother Steve and Brother Rule all these years, Brother Jamie, and how they have led us. And I hope and pray you faithfully pray for them and pray for this place. Amen. And I'd encourage you to be praying about what the Lord would have you to give. To support the continuation of this meeting. Now, I know Brother Steve has not said anything about it, and I didn't ask for permission because forgiveness is easier to get than permission. But I'm aware that there's been a very, very substantial increase in the motel price that's going to send the cost of these 2 weeks well over $100,000. Now, I can close my eyes and I can see Brother Rule standing here with the offering tub, and I can hear him saying, "We're not after your tithes or your offering, but I don't want to be a freeloader either." Amen. Now, if you can't give, if you need help, we'll help you. Amen. But I want to say to you, you ought to just be minding God and honoring God and giving. I'll tell you, there's a day that I couldn't afford to go on a vacation, and our family came here, and we had a vacation because of the goodness and the generosity of this place. And if that's your case, I want you to know this crowd around here will help you. Calvary Baptist Church will take up the slack, and they will do it with joy and gladness. But you and I ought not be freeloaders. So you ought to be asking God what He'd have you to give. Amen. And if you'll just mind the Lord, every need will be met. Amen. Now, all that's coming off of my preaching time. Don't worry about any of that. But that was just in my heart. Because I know the burden and the load the moderator carries. Amen. So you pray about that. I want you to be turning to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. I do appreciate Brother Tommy and the Lord touching him, amen. Thank the Lord for men of God that are just themselves and know the Holy Ghost, amen. And are not out to impress, but are just simply out to obey the Lord. Now, you know Hebrews chapter 11 well. It's that great faith chapter. It's that great roll call of faith. It starts out with that concept of faith in those first several verses. There's that contribution of faith. Abel gives that more excellent sacrifice. There's the commendation of faith Enoch pleased God, and God was pleased with Enoch. There's the challenge of faith in Noah. I mean, God tells Noah to build something he's never seen before, because it's going to do something it's never done before, and it's going to be 120 years before it's going to do what it's never done before. And Noah just rises to the challenge. Abraham rises to the challenge and heads out toward a city he's never seen before, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, leaving all behind. There's the challenge of faith in this chapter. There's the crisis of faith in this chapter as Abraham's called to give over what God has given unto him. There is the concern of this chapter. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph are all concerned about the blessings of God and worshiping God. That's what faith will cause you to be concerned about this morning. There's the crossroad of faith that Moses is brought to. He's at the crossroads between the approval of the world and the approval of God, the reproach of the world or the reward of the Lord. There's the claim of faith down here. The foes are going to be claimed as the walls come down by faith. There's the forgiveness that is claimed as Rahab is going to let down the scarlet thread and experience the forgiveness of God. Then there is the courage of faith down here about the middle part, as the Lord has the writer rattle off about six more names there. Some were strong, some were weak, but they all had faith and courage in God. But this morning I'm interested in what we could call the contrast of faith, beginning here in verse 35 and following. There is a shift that takes place in verse 35. It is as if though the writer has been writing and the music has been sounded in a major key, and there is a shift to what we might call a minor key. I told Jordan last night I need some help on my sermon this morning, and he gave me a middle little mini a musical lesson, but he's talking about all kinds of stuff. I ain't got any idea what he's talking about. He's talking about signatures and times and half beats and thirds and everything out. But I did get this, Jordan. When a composer wants to emphasize something, he does make a change in the composition and in the key. And the Holy Ghost is the creator of faith this morning. It is the gift of God. You don't work it up. You don't decide. You don't get it. The Holy Ghost is the creator of faith this morning, and he's also the composer of this symphony of faith. And in verse 35 and following, there is a shift to a more minor key. The Word of God says here, women receive their dead raised to life. But then here's the key change: and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Oh my, for a moment I want to magnify the faith of these others, these unknown knowns, unknown by the world, unknown to you and unknown to me, but known by God. And I will tell you, when the dust settles, that's really all that matters. Matters not if the world knows us. Matters not if camp meeting knows us. Matters only if God in glory knows you and knows me. But notice with me this morning the faith of these others. I'd have you notice with me something about their vision. Their vision. Warren Wiersbe, I believe, is right. The chapter really doesn't begin with a cold definition of faith as much as it is a warm picture and description of faith that he gives us snapshots down through the rest of this chapter, letting us know what faith looks like, letting us know how faith behaves, letting us know how faith responds. And in your reading, your hearing, as I've read, in your hearing this morning, hear these unnamed individuals. I want you to know there is much heroes of faith as Noah, as Abraham, as Moses, oh my, because they had their eyes, Brother Tommy, set on the hills and a little bit above the hills, and the one whose help cometh from the hills. Their vision was not on that which was of earth. Their vision was upon that which was eternal. Their vision was not on things that were seen. Their vision was on the unseen things of God, oh my, because that's how faith sees. Faith enables us to see what these eyes cannot see. Faith sees the invisible. Faith is able to lay hold of the intangible, and faith hears what's inaudible to these ears. Oh my, R.C. Sproul said it well. I know some of you are afraid to read it, but you ought to. R.C. Sproul said this, that the eye of faith allows us to see the invisible hand of God. I'd add to it, the eye of faith allows us to see and behold the face of the God of glory. And you want to know why all these kept on keeping on, why all these persevered, why all of these are in Hebrews chapter 11? They had their eyes set on God. Their vision, their focus was upon the Lord. But could I ponder a question with you this morning? What is the difference? What is the difference between these in verse 4 and verse 31, even down through verse 35? What's the difference between these in these first verses and these in these last verses? What's the difference between these great heroes of faith that we know their name and these unknowns? What's the difference between these and these others? Well, I want you to know it's not faith. It's not faith. All in this chapter, known and unknown, all have faith. Faith in the same God, faith in the same will and the power and in the purpose of God. Know the difference between these in this first portion of the chapter and these verses that I've read in your head. The difference in these others is not faith, but the difference is in the will and in the purpose and in the providence of God. There's no other way to explain it. All had faith, but it exhibited it, it manifested itself in different ways. I can't explain to you this morning why Noah got to stay with his family, but Abraham had to leave his family. Oh my, could I say to you this morning, hear me this morning, the ultimate factor, the ultimate determining factor in this world, it's not the flesh, it's not the flesh, it's not the foe, no, and it's not even faith, no, but it is the will of God. Now I know some folks think it's all hinged on the faith, but I remind you, our salvation is not of the will of man or of the flesh, but of God. It's not the foe. I remind you over there in Genesis 20, Abimelech wants to take Sarah. Abimelech wants to have Sarah, but God steps in and God halts that, and God moves in so that Abimelech cannot touch Sarah there. God put a stop to it. You say, well, God was violating his will. No, sin's what's violated the will of man. God never ever has. God is able to stop if he wants to stop. But he doesn't always do it. He does not do it in the lives of these unknown knowns. Oh my. So it's not the flesh, it's not the foe, and it's not faith. Because they all, the book tells us in this chapter, they all have faith. Wouldn't it be awful this morning? Wouldn't it be awful this morning to be suffering or to have cancer? or some other matter this morning. And on top of all that, you'd have to add, I don't have enough faith. Oh my, I'm talking about some men that are unknown, but they've got their eyes on God. They have submitted to God. I want you to know Abel submitted to the will of God. Noah submitted to the will of God. And these unknown owns, these others have all submitted to the will and the purpose and the plan of God. But it's not always the same. I mean, look here. All of these are submitted to the will of God. But back up in verse 33, for some it means deliverance. Yes, sir. But for others, it's no deliverance. Here in verse 33, some subdue by faith, some subdue. But look here in verse 35, 36, some are subdued. Both got faith. Both groups got faith. Oh my, you really want to see how plain it is? In verse 34, some escaped the edge of the sword. But you notice in verse 37, some are slain by the sword. Oh my. Difference wasn't the foe, different ones the flesh, difference was not even their faith. The difference lie in the will and in the purpose and in the plan of God. Oh my, this morning, if you and I are going to have an impact on this world, we've got to have their vision, we've got to have our eyes on Him and be submitted to the will and the purpose and the plan of God. Now that's easy when you know it ahead of time, but when you don't know it, that's where it gets sticky. You know, back up there in verse 34, there's a clear reference. There's a clear reference. They quenched the violence of fire. That's a clear reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Hebrew boys. But I remind you, they knew God was able to deliver them out of the fire. They knew God had the ability and the power to do that. Whether He would or not, they believed God. They believed God would get them out of the hand of the king. Nonetheless, oh my, they were trusting God. They didn't get a word until they were in the fire. Oh my, how is it though? How is it though, as they're thrown into the fire? How is it that they don't turn back? How is it that they don't cry back? How is it they don't give up? How is it they don't turn away? They've got their eyes on another fire. They've got their eyes on another king greater than Nebuchadnezzar. Their vision was on the God of glory. I'm talking about these unknown knowns and the faith of these others. I'd have you note, though, not just their vision. I'd have you note their value. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. The world looked at this latter group especially. And the world makes an estimation. They're lightweights. They're of no worth. They have little weight. There's a word, there's a tremendous word picture behind the word worthy here. It has the idea of a set of balancing scales. When the world looked at these that were being subdued, when the world looked at these that were suffering, when the world looked at these who were being sawn asunder and were destitute, and that was their lot, in life, they said, "My, they're of little value." Of the world gave them little value. Oh my. You really want to see the picture. And sometimes if you're not sure how the Lord's using the word, a word in the Bible, notice how the Holy Ghost uses it in other places in the Bible. Paul helps us with that in Romans 8. He says this, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy," there's the word, same word, "are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Oh my, there's a set of balancing scales, and Paul puts his sufferings, and Paul puts his heartaches, and Paul puts his trials there, and oh my, it looks like they're weighty. It looks like, oh my, there's nothing as heavy as that, but oh my, when he puts the glory of God on the other side of the scales, it just doesn't balance things out, no less God. It puts things in proper perspective. And all my, these that the world gave no honor to, these that the world gave no recognition to, God exalted them, and God's record them here in this great roll called of faith. Oh my, oh my. God said the world, it's the world that's the lightweight. You're not the lightweight. No, no, no. Those who have their eyes on God, those who have their vision, their will submitted to God, they are the ones that carry weight in this world. But you know what the truth is this morning? The truth is this morning, it's not just the world that overlooks these unknowns. It's not just the world that overlooks these others. I'm afraid the religious world doesn't do much better. I mean, be honest this morning. If you and I are not careful, we'll read these first 31, 34 verses, and then we'll ship down here these last six verses, and we'll say, well, they must not have had the faith. They must not have had as much faith. They must not have had as great faith as Noah or these others. They must be something wrong. They must be something wrong with their faith. Oh, man, be careful, be careful, be careful in how you're trying to balance things out. Because if you're trying to balance things out by comparing yourself or other people to other people, I want you to know it'll be an imbalance. It'll be off balance, whatever your evaluation is. Oh, my, oh, my. Can I say to you, one man said it well. He said it takes more faith to endure than it does to escape. Amen. Anybody can get sick if they know they're going to be healed and face it with victory. But if you get sick and it doesn't look like there's going to be any healing in sight. Anybody can get sick and then get bitter and get mad at God. But it takes a group of people who've got their vision, who've got their eyes on God Almighty. Oh my. And when you and I get our vision and our focus and our will submitted to the will of God, I want you to know it gives us weight. It gives us weight in the eyes of God Almighty. And His scales are the only scales that count to start with. Oh my. There's something here about their value now. I'll tell you, and I need to be real careful right here with this. Because, oh my, if you're in the delivered crowd this morning, it's easy to get brazen. And say, well, that's right, I've got delivered. I've got the faith. And if you're in the not delivered crowd this morning, it's easy to get bitter. You know that reference in verse 35 there, women received their dead raised to life again. We know that's a reference to Elijah and Elisha raising the widow Zarephath's son, raising there the Shunammite's son. You surely don't think those are the only two boys that died in those days. Well, did those other mamas not have faith? Did those other mamas not have the right kind of faith or enough faith? Oh my. Now, that's what the word of faith crowd says. That's what the health and the wealth guys and gals would have us believe, that if you're struggling or if your church is having trouble or if your youngin's marriage breaks up, you don't have faith. I know the beloved preacher, Brother Tom, mentioned yesterday whose son is a homosexual. I know some infidels that say, what if he just had faith? If he just had faith. Can I remind you, faith is not the determining factor in this chapter, and it's not even the determining factor in your life or mine. I know the word of faith crowd tells us that, but my Lord, they can't even figure out who's supposed to preach. How in the world would they know what to preach? Oh my, the determining factor is the will and the purpose and the plan of God. I mean, listen. Verse 36, 37, 38. Others had cruel mocking, scourgings. Listen, verses 36, 37. Oh my, 38. They're not going through that because of unbelief.
No, sir.
That's right. They're going through it because faith. In fact, you could read this way, not to add to the Word of God, don't need to, but you could read it this way. By faith, they had the cruel mocking. By faith, just because you're going through a hard time, it doesn't mean necessarily you're doing something wrong. It may be because you're doing something right. Now, sin has consequences, and sin brings chastisement. I'm well aware of that, but oh my God, help us to get our vision, our eyes on the Lord of glory, the Creator and the Composer of faith. Because when you and I submit to Him, it brings value. Have you ever heard this? God has a wonderful plan for your life. That sounds real good. It's just not always so. Ask Job. Ask Joseph. You say, but now, preacher, they came out on top when all was said and done. They got the reward in the end. Oh, yes, I know all that. But for years and years and years, they suffered. And for years and years, those that were trying to balance everything out by the ways of the world and religion, I thought they must be something dead in their wood pile somewhere. Oh, my God. God holds up these others for us to look at this morning. I'm not going to preach it, but there's a thought in this text about their victory. These others that I'm talking about, they had the victory. They had the victory. Oh my, that's what verse 39 says. And these all having obtained a good report. Oh my, they all had the approval of God. See, victory doesn't always look like what we think victory looks like. Oh my. Hey, James was beheaded. And Peter got to go free. Both had faith and both were victorious. In fact, if you really want to get right down to it, James gets in on ultimate victory a whole lot longer than Peter. Before Peter, rather, gets in on ultimate victory. But both had the victory. Hey, Stephen was stoned. Paul suffered. Paul prayed and the thorn wasn't removed. A stone and shipwreck, beaten, left for dead. Are you going to say Paul didn't have faith? Are you going to say Paul didn't have the victory? You say, well, what in the world, preacher, is victory then? Victory is Jesus. That's what victory is. And the composer and the creator of faith knows what it takes in your life and my life. He knows when there needs to be a key change so that you and I can be conformed to the image of our Lord. But I want to say to you again, I want to come back to it. If you and I are not careful, we'll get to look at somebody suffering. We'll get to look at a preacher suffering and his church suffering. And you and I will get to thinking, well, wonder what they've done. Wonder what they've done. Now, there's another side to that. You need to be careful as well. If everything's going good at your place, if everything's going and you're going well in your life, and you look at somebody that's struggling, somebody that's not being delivered, somebody that's being subdued, instead of subduing, if you're not careful there, you'll get to look into that crowd that's delivered and say, well, they got to be compromisers. They got to be compromised. They're not holding the standards like we're holding the standards. Because if they were holding the standards like we're holding the standards, they'd be fighting hell by the acre like we are. Well, maybe they are. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. I mean, if having a crowd makes you a compromiser, we're a compromising bunch this morning. Oh, yeah, you didn't think of it that way, did you? No, we think of it that way when they say another church down the road. Now, and I say, just cause something's big doesn't mean it's growing. Hey, there's a dead possum between here and the golf course all week long. Dead as a hammer. It's bigger this morning than it was when I got here. It's bigger. It's not growing. It's dead. It's just swelling. Just cause something big doesn't mean it's growing. But oh my, you and I better be careful. You and I better be careful when you and I are struggling with the struggles of life that we let God do the balancing here. Oh my, I close with this. I've tried to point you here to their vision. I've tried to say something here about their value and even their victory. But could I close right quick in these last 30 seconds to say something about our vantage? Our vantage. Notice it says in the text that they all received a good report. They all obtained a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. They received not the promise. But could I remind our hearts and lives this morning, we have received the promise. That is a person that is the Lord of glory. They were looking for him to come. Hallelujah, he's come this morning. Oh my, the 13th verse there of the chapter says, they were strangers and they were pilgrims on earth. Oh, Brother Buck Puntley, my pastor's brother said this, a stranger is one that's away from home and a pilgrim is one that is on the way home. Hey, in this world we are strangers and pilgrims. Oh my, but I remind you, as Brother Tom told us yesterday, if we're saved this morning, we're already there, and if we're already there, this world is not worthy of us, and if we're already there, everything here is under our feet. If you're there, everything here is under your feet. Oh my, you know, in sports the world has setups. And they call all these matches a little maybe unknown school in NCAA, little old unknown school there facing a big powerhouse. And they say, oh, it's a battle of David and Goliath. It's that school's the underdog. It's a battle of David and Goliath. Could I remind you of something this morning? David was not the underdog. David wasn't the underdog. No, no, no. The Philistine Goliath knew he was the dog. In fact, in a few moments, probably less than 2 minutes, Goliath was going to be a dead dog. But no, no, no. When you stand in the name of God, and when you stand on the word of God, you're not an underdog. You're more than conquerors. That's why the writer of Hebrews, after he rolls out all these characters, after he mentions all these knowns, after he mentions all these knows, he says, wherefore let us lay aside, let us press on. We've got an advantage they did not have. Hey, you know what? I didn't have a Bible. I got one with 66 books in it. They were looking for him. Hallelujah. He lives in my heart and lives in my life. They had the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I've got him abiding in my heart and in my life. Therefore, God help us to have the faith of these others. You say, I can't do what Noah had to do. Well, I ain't God, I ain't ever asked anybody else to do it anyway. I can't do what Abraham did. Oh, I can't either. Just have the faith of these others. Amen. And you will be more than a conqueror. Amen. Here's a message, preacher.